This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
First of all, happy Monday to everybody. Just so you know, Dino Babers, 8:45, Dave Doran, 9:30 this morning here with Packer and Durham.
Yeah.
We're going to go to week 11 in the ACC.
Gosh, it flies, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And people, I can't wait to get to such and such. Sometimes you got to slow down.
That's right.
We have basketball starting tomorrow night. We have two games on ACC Network tomorrow night, one Wednesday and two Friday, including Coach K's first home game of his last season at Cameron Indoor Stadium.
I hope he gets some attention for that. You think folks will pay attention? This is K's last year. Huh? I'm just asking.
I think it's going to be noticed. So we've got basketball this week. We've got fall championships being awarded on the ladies' side.
We had a bunch yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
I was watching all kinds of TV yesterday.
Field hockey. We got soccer. We got all sorts of stuff going on.
Kieran Shelton got another W.
Yep.
More
hardware. 4 ACC?
Like 603. This is some crazy
Might
number.
As well be. So we got a lot of stuff to cover.
Florida State women's soccer won a championship yesterday.
On a great goal, right?
Unbelievable. So number one versus number two in the country, Virginia and Florida State.
So we got all that. Plus, we have not necessarily a winner take all, but pretty close football game in the Atlantic on Saturday night in primetime here on ACC Network.
I'm not going to go there yet.
NC State at Wake Forest.
It's humongous.
It is a big game to determine which school will represent that division in Charlotte.
And guess who has the game?
ACC Network.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
We do this. Remember that old line from 3 years
there
ago?
There were some folks last week on the college football playoff saying, well, Wake Forest doesn't have anything in front of them.
Right.
Huh?
So.
Huh? What?
All right. We've got that. We've also got Carolina-Pittsburgh this week on Thursday night in primetime on ESPN with Matt Barry and Roddy Jones. And the coveted invite is going to work sideways.
Right. Coveted invite back in the ACC.
Coveted invite comes back to her Atlantic Coast Conference roots. But Saturday, this past Saturday?
Crazy, man.
Always delivers.
We have some great games this weekend.
It always delivers. And again, we had a codicil of unranked teams go and beat ranked teams. Again. Take your pick, Pack.
Well, the Associated Press poll, which I guess is still in existence. I don't know why, but it is. I mean, we use it as a standard until we get to the real poll, which is the college football
82
playoff
years
poll.
Of Associated Press voting.
Great. Associated Press, we had 7 ranked teams lose, 6 to unranked. In the college football playoff poll, the only one that matters, we had 8 teams lose to 7 unranked teams. It is the norm this year. It's almost, you can go back and add them all up. It just doesn't seem to matter what
right.
that number is beside your name. You're in trouble. And here's the funny thing. It doesn't really pertain to the ACC. I mean, Georgia was dominant. They've been fantastic all year. But the top 5 or 6 teams right behind them in the polls, they were as average as the day is long.
Right.
I mean, nobody looked great up at the top.
Right.
Now, from an ACC perspective, I think you can just about stick a fork in the ACC's college football playoff championship, though. I mean, it was Wake or bust
right.
at this rate, right?
It was.
And Wake and North Carolina put together one of those, hey, we kind of kid around last week. Not sure to be, 59-53, but it could be close. Well, it was actually 1 point more.
Yeah.
Good grief. 58-55, your final. It was as nutty as you thought it could be.
And I'm not proposing any major schedule renovations in the Atlantic Coast Conference, but for the time being, Wake and Carolina is arguably one of the most entertaining games, not just in the ACC and all of college football the last 2 years.
Oh, without question. I mean, I wrote this down just because I wasn't sure if we're going to go there, but I can use it. Sam Hartman, the last 2 years. All right, I'm just going to give you some numbers. All right, Sam Hartman has passed for 827. These are just the two games against North Carolina. Has passed for 827 yards. He's rushed for 80. That's 907 total yards. When you add his touchdown passes and rushing touchdowns, he had 12 touchdowns. So 900.
In two games.
Two games. Hear me out. 907 total yards, 12 touchdowns, and 0-2. Now let that marinate a second. 907, 12 touchdowns, 0-2.
Wow.
That's bizarro, right?
Yeah.
Can't make it up.
Yeah. This game was so crazy, right? just bananas.
And it's the same game. I mean, a year ago, it was a 21-point
lead. And you
lead.
Thought to yourself, there's no way, right? There's no way.
Well, you couldn't dismiss it because of last year.
Right.
I mean, it's 45-27 or whatever the score was.
Look at all the people showing up. Carolina people, Wake people. Well,
they got there late. They weren't a whole lot of folks there at noon.
Oh, at noon, they were still working their way in through the pines?
They're still in the parking deck somewhere.
They were coming from the...
Not sure where everybody was.
Coming from up on the hill near the old well.
I think everybody realized listening to us last week, hey, Pack and Durham, they were talking about this game's going to be over about 4:15.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you this. Remember last week on this show, we talked about whatever it was behind Oklahoma and somebody would be JIP?
Yep.
It was JIP.
Joined in progress.
Oh, my God.
You knew it, too.
I got like 6 texts in the fourth quarter of the Duke game going, you were right, JIP.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, when Wake's up 45-27 or 45-20, whatever it was, you're like, man, this kind of feels like last year, but this Wake team's better, right? This Wake team's better than they were a year ago. Man, give North Carolina credit. They did not quit. And the Deeks backs, you know, secondary got all banged up.
Okay.
So now all of a sudden you're like, all right, who's going to make a stop in the backfield? Nobody.
Well, Ty Chandler, by the way, sensational.
Really good.
Including the one that salted it late.
That was the play right there.
Yeah.
That was the
Cameron
play.
Cameron Kelly's interception.
The second one. Mm. You know, I thought, again, just me sitting on the couch, I thought North Carolina was offsides, but guess what? I didn't see any penalty. No flag on the play. Hartman thought he had a freebie, threw it to the wrong guy. And that was a momentum changer, that play right there.
All right. Here's kind of the interesting thing of this deal, right? You mentioned all the offensive stats.
I had to because nobody played any defense.
Well, there is that little quotient to this, isn't there?
Aaron Kelly's 2 picks.
I mean, it's just –
But those teams are so good offensively, Wes.
Right.
Sam Howell's legs have almost become a bigger story than his arm.
I agree with
that.
But the other stat in the ball game that fascinates me is that Josh Downs had just kind of a docile game for Carolina.
Yeah, but
everybody else, though, Ty Chandler, Antoine Green.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, Wake's going to double team him. Guess what? 11's not going to beat us. Who else you got? Well, they got other dudes.
They do.
And then they ran the football.
Yeah.
And Wake has had a hard time stopping the run. Now, you saw him stop Duke, whatever. But, you know, Army ran like wild. North Carolina ran wild. It was just a crazy, wide-open football game. And like we said on Friday's show, we said on Thursday's show, if you love offense, this was your game of the week in college football. We said that leading into it.
Right.
And it did not disappoint from that perspective.
No, you're
great
exactly
offensive
right.
players
great,
all over the place.
Unbelievable offensive game.
Yeah.
So, I feel bad. Dave Clawson's perfect season goes by the board. But here's the other thing. And I mentioned to you this before the show. Carolina's got to be thinking, ugh. Right? I mean, could we have put this together and done this? And I don't want to say a what-if situation, but it's kind of like if we could have built any kind of continuity.
Well, I say we're giving up 31 points a game. They haven't played very good defense all year. They were terrible defensively Saturday. They won the game. At the end of the day, it's about scoreboard. Scoreboard.
Right.
And for North Carolina, yesterday was a feel-good. Saturday was a feel-good. You got the W, and they needed to find another one in that group. Remember, that was one of our questions last week.
Yeah.
Wofford was a given. Can North Carolina?
They found it.
And I thought they would.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if it was yet going to be Saturday, but they did. So now they'll beat Wofford by 100, go to a bowl. Now the question is, they ruined a Wake Forest party. Can North Carolina ruin a Pittsburgh party on Thursday? And they've had great success against Pitt.
By the way, the other aspect of this is not just Pittsburgh on Thursday.
NC State.
Friday after Thanksgiving.
If you listened to the show last week, we hinted to you that North Carolina has the ability to stick their nose and ruin parties coming down the stretch.
Big time.
They're one for one.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Sam Hartman, 5 straight games of 300 yards or more. Longest streak in the ACC. Only only people in the last 15 years with a streak that long, Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan.
Pretty good. He played terrific. He'd love to have that the pass he threw, the second pass he threw to Kelly for North Carolina, he'd love to have back because that was a momentum changer. Wake had everything going, comfortable lead, and, man, that was a gift. Thank you very much. Yeah. But give Carolina credit, man. Found a way to win. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. So, Tar Heels win 58-55.
Last year, it's 59-53. We're I don't think they'll have 112.
They'll never do that again.
How about 113 this year?
All right.
Crazy game.
On the other side, here in hour one, we'll take you to Tallahassee. Wolfpack in the house. NC State went down there and took care of business, didn't they?
Flu bug for the I understand. Florida State was a problem.
Yeah. And Clemson a winner on Saturday night.
Packer and Durham is presented by the Eat Fresh Refresh at Subway.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, presented by the good folks at Subway. Fuller's got a ball, still looking for a piece of that banana chocolate birthday cake or whatever that was.
Yep, here we are, Monday morning.
All right, it's November. We got a humongous game or two this weekend, which we'll talk about. Dave Dorn, Dina Babers, late in the program.
Yep.
And speaking of Dave Dorn, NC State goes on the road.
Wolfpack in the house.
Tallahassee. Florida State fighting the flu bug. Got a bunch of dudes out.
Fighting the Wolfpack, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, fighting NC State's defense would shut down the run. We talked about this, I thought, was the point last week going in the game. Florida State number two in the league running it.
Right.
NC State number two stopping it. Who would win that battle? We found out the answer. NC State. Wow. 38 yards rushing for the Noles.
And Devin Leary, 300 yards passing on 21 of 32, four scores, seventh straight game with multiple passing touchdowns, very quietly now. Again, if we did this at the end of the year, I don't know how dynamically different the list would be, but Devin Leary has had a really, really good second half of football in the ACC. Not that he had a bad first half, but Pack. The second half, he's been really strong.
Well, the thing that's been so good about Devin Leary is smart with the football, right?
Sure.
Now, the interception streak came to an end on a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. But as far, I mean, that was just a heave. And
look at this.
We'll see what happens. But for the most part,
C.J. Riley.
Just playing smart football, man. NC State, defense out of sight.
Yeah.
Offensively, efficient, really good wide receivers, terrific offensive line. Leary's been smart with the football. It's the perfect combination of winning football. And we talked about complementary football a lot with NC State this year.
All right. I want to go back to some early September discussion about NC State with you. Like going to Starkville and not winning, which was like going to Morgantown a couple of years ago, not winning, right? Remember the concerns about where NC State was and their ability to process it on the road, or win that game on the road, or get over that?
Narrative changers.
Thank you. In your mind, by winning at Florida State, you know, things like that, have they changed your narrative about what they are as a football program?
I think they're better. Let me see how to answer this question. Losing the Mississippi State, I know Dave Dorn's been talking about, you know, keep disrespecting us. Not sure anybody's disrespecting you, but I mentioned to you before the show, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, if is the biggest word in sports.
Sure.
If NC State wins that game, they're ranked 11th or 12th in the country right now. That's who they are. What they've done a great job in, the hiccup games at Boston College, at Florida State, where there's been
Louisville at home type thing.
Louisville at home, down in the fourth quarter, starting off, do you close? They've done a really good job closing.
Right.
Right. In the past, State would give you a dose of, hey, there's expectations, we've got a chance.
Right.
And then there'd be the stub your toe moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't had that.
I agree.
And I would say really the only time they've given that to you this year, and I know folks would say, well, how about the Miami game? Well, I'd make the case right now in the last 3 weeks, Miami's playing as well as anybody in the league. How about that? Let that marinate a second with TV dinner, as he's now called. TV dinner's rocking it down there in Miami. We'll get to him in a minute, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, NC State, with the exception of the Mississippi State game, has not had the stub you tell. They really haven't. Now, this weekend against Wake Forest is kind of feels like, hey, winner this one is in a prime spot to get to Charlotte. But NC State's defense, despite the injuries, that's what's impressed me more than anything else. Mm-hmm. They are really good defensively, and they've lost four starters, which tells you about, number one, recruiting and development. And State has done, and Dave Dorn and his staff get all the credit in the world for this, they have done that. They've lost personnel, but yet, you know what, you watch them play, they stop the run. Mm-hmm. That is not going to happen. And I know Florida State, I mentioned the flu bug and everything else. Hey, you hold the team that can really run to 38 yards, you're getting the job done.
Yeah.
And Devin Leary doesn't make mistakes. They've got good backs, good offensive line. Again, complimentary football. That's what NC State's doing.
Yeah. Impressive. No, and I think what they've done is also take that next step a little bit. Now, almost.
Well, the next step is Saturday.
Saturday night is the next step.
That's it.
For all the good work you've done now by winning those games and keeping it going, you now put yourself in a position where Saturday night becomes the next step.
Yeah, and you can't worry about rankings. I mean, whatever the college football playoff puts you, you know, they had you 19th last week. To be honest with you, it's kind of where you deserve to be, in my opinion. I mean, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda with Mississippi State, you'd have been 12 or 13, but you didn't get a job done that night.
Right.
So I think State ranking-wise, I think that's all, let's say we can call it rat poison. That's what it is.
There you go.
You got to go win this week. You win this week, all that other stuff takes care of itself.
All right, off to Louisville. Saturday night, Cardinal Stadium, right here in primetime on ACC Network. Boy, you got all you wanted there, didn't you?
If you love, hey, who's going to win this game with 10 seconds to go, it was your kind of game.
Wow.
I mean, Malik Cunningham was spectacular.
Yeah.
As he can be. And Clemson
came
found
back
a way
off
to win.
The ropes.
Yeah, Clemson found a way to win. I mean, they were down 17-7 and wasn't looking great. And DJ Uiagalelei played a little bit better. But, man, guys got banged up. The Clemson injury bug continued over the weekend. Joseph Ngata is going to be out now for a couple weeks. But here goes big old Cinco in there for the touch on one leg.
Yeah, he's hobbling.
And here comes fourth, you know, the fourth and goal play. Here it is. Oh, bam, got nowhere to go.
Your man, by the way, Xavier Thomas, played that one from the down position, 3 or 5 technique over there on the right side and came all the way across the field.
Yeah, I mean, Cunningham was not going to score on fourth down on that play right there.
No, that was not happening.
If he just slips, I mean, he slipped and that was that. But had he stayed upright, there were 6 white shirts.
I'm surprised they didn't throw it.
Boy, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
I know.
Monday.
I mean, I'm just saying, but I just.
You got first and goal at the 2.
I saw what you did on the ground the previous 2 snaps is what I'm kind of getting at.
Yeah, I heard you.
So, Clemson, by the way, 6 wins, bowl eligible, 17th straight season. Malik Cunningham had 134 rushing yards, 2 scores, second most rushing yards in his career, by the way.
I was at Louisville's offensive line, did a great job. They moved Clemson's defensive front for the vast majority of the night in that game.
What's the story on the 3rd and 4th quarter with these two? Because apparently Louisville can't score in the 4th.
Well, I came up with a crazy stat. We'll talk about the Clemson's 3rd quarter. Well, that'll be later in the show. But Louisville's trend in the 4th quarter is a problem.
They got outscored 13-0 in this 4th quarter.
Well, they lost to Virginia with the lead to 4th quarter at home.
Mm-hmm.
They lose Saturday night with the lead in 4th quarter.
Right.
They had the lead at NC State going in the 4th quarter. They get outscored 55-6 in the 4th quarter in those 3 games and go LLL.
Right.
And at the end of the year, you know, I know we got Dino Babers coming up and Louisville Syracuse is coming up this week, which I think is going to be a really interesting game, mm-hmm. given the fact that both those teams are kind of what it could have should. They're going to look – both of those teams will look back at the end of this year, regardless of what they finish, and Louisville will look back at those 3 games, Virginia – Clemson, NC State, lead in the 4th quarter, lost all of them, and were tied with Wake Forest on the road in
That's
the 4th
right.
quarter and lost by 3. Those are 4 conference games, if you're Louisville, that you will look back and go, man alive, if we split those, what does it look like compared to where we are?
Right.
And Syracuse is going to do the same thing. They're going to look back at the year.
Those 3 straight 3-point
games? 3 consecutive 3-point loss games and go, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
Tough ones.
Dino Babers, 8:45. Dave Dorn, 9:30 this morning. When we come back, two more games to cap for you. The old Pittsburgh Panthers, buddy. Got a little beat up on Saturday. A couple of injuries.
So did Louisville, so did Clemson, so did Wake. It's November. Everybody's banged
but
up.
Before they won the game, Pittsburgh went and put a number up on the Duke Blue Devils.
Not surprised.
Meanwhile, down in South Florida, what is it? TV dinner?
TV dinner. That's what Rambo called him. TVD is TV dinner.
TV dinner. But Kenny Two Gloves was throwing a rock around the yard at Wallace Wade. And there's Charleston Rambo, another big game. Two Bills of receiving yardage. Packer and Durham on a Monday is presented by Subway.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget, tonight, 7 o'clock, another edition of All Access, the ACC Life, featuring Boston College Fields Hockey, Boston College's field hockey team.
Those guys.
Florida State women's soccer and Wake Forest men's soccer. Unprecedented access into the lives of student-athletes, coaches, staff, and parents, and fans. 7 o'clock Eastern, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. Last one we saw was outstanding. Looking forward to seeing this one tonight at 7 o'clock. Mr. Packer, good morning.
You all right? Are you still giddy? I think you're still giddy from the Falcons game. Yeah. I think you are.
I'm never mad at a win in New Orleans. That's all I'll say. All right, Pittsburgh goes to the fabled Horseshoe on the West Campus on Saturday and does exactly what they should do.
Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium, where Duke gives up 50.
Well, that's true. They did.
Pitt, by the way, that's what, four times now they've scored 50 or more? First time that's pulled off in one season since 1905, if I read correctly.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing about that game that surprised me other than Duke got a safety.
Yeah.
Other than that, nothing about that game surprised
me. And Narduzzi looked and went, really? Really?
Yeah, well,
because last week I had a safety and it didn't get called.
It didn't get called.
That's exactly what you could tell we didn't show it, and I'm glad we kind of didn't, because he was standing there I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, that's last week, though. Yeah. Would have, could have, should have.
Pitt, 636 total yards, most total yards in a game against an FBS opponent this season. Five consecutive games against Duke they've won. They're 7-1 against Duke since coming into the league. Kenny Two Gloves, roll the video. Right, Jordan Addison. Oh, Gavin Bartholomew. By the way, it's a freshman at tight end. Kid's had a really nice year. Got banged up later. Hope he's okay. Here's Kenny, 22 yards. You guys not going to check me? You're worried about the receivers?
Pitt hoping that this is not their last trip to the state of North Carolina.
That's right. Panthers play the Tar Heels Thursday night, 7:30 on ESPN, potentially for driver's seat mentality going to Virginia the following week for the ACC's Coastal.
Well, it's going to come down to that.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Regardless.
One game this week, one game next week.
I mean, it really does. I mean, if they lose this game to North Carolina, they both got two losses.
Right.
I mean, Virginia's got Notre Dame this weekend, by the way, which should be an intriguing game if Brendan Armstrong's completely healthy. But Pitt beating up on Duke, I mean, Duke's season has gotten to the point now where the good news is Mike Krzyzewski plays Kentucky tomorrow night. That's what I tell you.
Yeah. Difficult situation there.
Well, Coach Cutt, let's be honest. I'm going to be completely transparent here. He has been great, not good, great for Duke. Great. What I don't want to see as a fan mm-hmm. of the league, I just don't want to see it keep going to the point where you're back kind of square one.
Sure.
Duke feels like they're kind of back to square one to me. I mean, how long has it been since they won a home ACC game? They've lost five or six in a row. I know that. At home.
That's right.
Home ACC wins. Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about. I'm not talking about ACC games.
Yeah.
They're the only team in the league with a zero in the win column in the conference. Mm-hmm. David Cutcliffe is a brilliant football coach. He has done great work at Duke. But right now, Wes,
yeah.
I mean, that game Saturday was not surprising at all.
Right? Yeah.
They just can't stop
it. It wasn't. And the thing that you look at is in their last stretch here, and I want to make sure I get the note right here for you. This is the part that's going to be the struggle for where you are with Duke. The Blue Devils' losing streak in the ACC is like 13 out of 14. They've lost 10 straight and 14 of the last 15 in conference play.
You know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they go to Virginia and get skunked, you did the Wake Forest game, wasn't competitive. Game Saturday wasn't competitive. Mm-hmm. I just hate to see it for David Cutcliffe.
Right.
Because I have nothing but respect for the guy.
Oh, me too.
He's a brilliant coach. And I just don't want this thing to get to the point where, like I said, he's back to where he inherited, which was a total train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And he built that thing up to take Duke to an ACC championship game, which is like, what are we doing?
Right.
So good.
And they played Texas A&M in a great game in the Peach Bowl.
Right, and you look at the facility upgrades. I mean, Duke's really made a commitment to saying, guess what, we're just not going to be Vanderbilt. You know, mm-hmm. we're not going to just sit here and get beat by 50 every week and take a check at the end of the year.
Right.
You know, they've made upgrades to the facilities. David Cutcliffe's done a great job.
And they had people at the – I mean, there were people at the game Saturday. I mean, there were – now, was it sold out, you know, shoulder to shoulder? No, but there were – they had a nice crowd. Comparatively speaking,
yeah,
to
but you want to be able to compete. I don't get a sense that right now Duke can compete in this league. I don't feel it. Yeah, I think every time they line up, I feel like they're getting ready to get smoked.
The momentum, the thing about the league momentum is interesting because it's been since late November of 2019 when they beat Miami in their final regular season game that they won a conference game. That's the last time. At home, by the way.
It's,
now,
what,
they won some road
what
games.
Year is it?
It's almost 2 years since their last ACC.
That is my point. Yeah. It's exactly what I've been saying for the last 5 minutes.
Right, I know.
You know, this is a conference right now that is competitive. I mean, it's totally upside down. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about Wake Forest, talking about NC State, we're talking about Virginia and Pittsburgh basically coming down the stretch to be in the ACC championship game. When's the last time we did that? Never. Every weekend we watch ACC football games and say whatever you want about the league. The games are competitive. They're fun. They're close.
Right.
Unless Duke's playing. And lately, a Duke game has just been yikes.
Right.
And this thing's over at halftime. I hate watching that for David Cutcliffe.
And the interesting part there, and we'll talk about the other program they're going to face on Saturday in a moment, Virginia Tech and Duke play Saturday. Middle game here of the triple header on ACC Network. In Blacksburg.
We haven't gotten to Virginia Tech, but we will.
Yeah.
That wasn't pretty Friday night at all.
For Pittsburgh. Can't wait to do this. You ready? Let's go to the remaining Pittsburgh schedule and their FPI chances. Yeah, 76 on Thursday. Almost 80 against Virginia. Almost 79 at Syracuse the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Total it all up, Pitt's got a 67.8% chance to win the Coastal, according to the Football Power Index.
There is not an easy game on that list.
I know.
Now, I don't care what the number, I don't care what the percentage is. North Carolina's going to come up there and sling it. And you go back and look at the history. North Carolina has really had Pitt's number.
Right.
The Virginia game is a fist fight for a chance to go to Charlotte. And can't forget about Syracuse now. I'm just telling you. I know we got Dino coming up later on. They're playing good football, and they could ruin a party. That game is in the dome, too, by the way. That's old Big East style fame. Just saying.
I'm with you.
There's nothing easy about Pitt's run moving forward.
Hey, 7:30 is the start time on Thursday night. You want to go ahead and tell our man Scott Van Pelt don't count on starting on time?
That game could have some high flying going on. 7:30, Van Pelt.
4 hours? You thinking four?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about four.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be as crazy as Wake North Carolina.
No. But I think it's going to be the ball in the air enough that it might be SVP, JIP.
Scott might be able to preview maybe a Maryland basketball game before he gets ready for that one.
Hey, Scott, you might be Van Pelt and Stanford Steve might be starting on the app.
Yeah, just saying, don't act surprised.
The old ACC's got those whack intentions here lately. All right, let's go to Coral Gables before we get to break here.
They are smoking hot, those Miami Hurricanes, out of nowhere.
Hey, Canes fans, Packer had you down the chart a little bit last week. Not Durham. Durham had you moving north. Durham had you moving north in accounting last week. Packer had you down.
I had him eighth, seventh.
I see six up there.
Well, that's tomorrow's, so thanks for ruining it.
Oh, is that tomorrow?
Yeah, thanks for ruining it.
No problem.
See, just if you were listening to last
checking,
week.
I'm checking on yours.
Mine is
updated. You've already updated yours?
That's for tomorrow.
Wow, look at that.
So you don't use that as your
you should have covered it up. Yeah, you had them in the second division.
Or you could have listened to last week where I actually had them.
I didn't do that. Been a lot of towns and a lot of places.
Okay, Eric McLean.
here's the deal on Miami. Who wants to play Miami?
Nobody.
Holy smokes. I think Florida State's excited about seeing the Canes this weekend.
Well, they will be.
Yeah, but sure they will.
They better get
Miami,
some flu
Florida
shots.
State.
They better get some flu shots before the Canes get into town.
Here's the, I mean, Tyler Van Dyke, dude. But here's the other part. You want to talk about scary? We thought this guy would be a major player. We thought it might be earlier. Charleston Rambo's causing problems.
As we expected.
And here's why. Because TVD is slinging it. Look at this. Wide receiver U candidate. Mike Carley there. Rambo there. Come on, man.
The last three games for TV dinner, right? All W's. Two against ranked teams in the Georgia Tech game. TV dinner, 72% completion rate.
Yeah.
1,140 total yards, 10 touchdowns, one interception.
Oof.
Any good? And by the way, he's a freshman. He's going to be around for a couple more years. And he already looks like Kenny Pickett.
Throwing the helmet on, walk, the whole.
They are a different animal with him.
Totally agree.
And they got the swagger. They know they can score. This guy's going to give them the ball.
Yep.
They're starting to tackle a little bit better. Not great, but better.
Right.
And, you know, that Georgia Tech game, you talked about it last week, you've done a number of them. Those have always been strange, weird games.
Yep.
That game Saturday was a strange, weird game. But guess what? Miami won the football game. Have they been close? Yeah, they've been close, but guess what? We keep talking about scoreboard. 1 point over NC State, 3 on Georgia Tech, 4 on Pitt the week before? They all count. Mm-hmm. And Miami's just sitting there with the easiest schedule of the lot compared to Virginia and to Pitt.
Yeah.
And, man, I know I just talked about Louisville and Syracuse looking back at the year, going woulda, coulda, shoulda. And I know I don't want to put salt in the wound, but that field goal against Virginia.
Oh, stop it.
That hit doink.
Stop it.
Could be very well be the story of who gets to Charlotte. Just saying.
See the note about Miami, 6 games. All 5 ACC games decided by 4 or less.
That's what I'm saying.
Georgia Tech, 5 of their 6 losses have been in single digits.
The league plays competitive games against each other, which I went back to a second ago about Duke. They're the only one that doesn't play competitive games. And that's bothersome. But Miami, right? If you're a Miami fan right now, you have got to be like, man, I love where we're going.
Yeah.
Because I've got a quarterback that I would pay money to watch every single week. Young stars that are stepping up. That's a young football team, man. They are young dudes making plays. And while the defense isn't world beater, they are a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
TV dinner. That's what Rambo called him. I love it. I'm going to steal that one.
All right. Can we give the full-blown FPI coastal graphic here? Do we have that by chance so Pat can get that right? Oh, here it is. Oh, the bars. I like when we fire the bars out across and show you the percentages. Look at that, huh? 67.8.
Look who's second.
I see. 15.9 for the U. 14.6 for the Wahoo Waz.
It's not Virginia. It's Miami that's second.
Miami at Florida State this weekend. Come on. Don't you like it when the bars push out across and see the percentages?
If you're
67
ready.
Goes a long way. And look, if that little mark at the top is like halfway, that 67's way on out there, isn't it?
For everybody on radio, they're ready to just turn the channel.
All right. I'll take a break. 3:30, by the way, Saturday from Doak Campbell Stadium at Bobby Bowden Field with Mark Jones, Robert Griffin III, and Quint Kesnick on the call.
It's always important to know who's doing the games. Always important.
I think so. Always informative. So you ready?
Are you going to ruin my accounting anymore?
No, I forgot that you update on the weekend. My fault. My apologies. I'm not going to tell them who's number one. Shh.
Do I need to go back and do 15 and 16 all over again?
No.
You don't let that out?
It's not up there.
Good.
Wait till we start doing all of them in one thing. And
hoop season.
Yeah. One tower.
That's what we're going to call it, you know, the Tower of Power.
We told you here on Friday we thought things would be running at a pretty high clip on Friday night for Boston College and Virginia Tech, red bandana night. Well, late Friday afternoon, we got more than that because the emotions ran even a little higher when number 5 returned to the field. We'll come back. BC, a winner over Virginia Tech, to celebrate Wells Crowther when we come back after this on ACC Network. Packer and Durham presented by Subway.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday morning, show number 497. It's a big week for us.
Oh, boy.
Especially on Thursday. 5 Bills. 5 stinking Bills on Thursday. 500 strong. And for all of you out there that lost bets, good.
Suckers.
All right, let's get to Friday Night Football, shall we?
The emotion of the red bandana game is one thing, and it's a campus investment. That's the thing. I heard our buddy John Meter Perel and Pete Cronin interviewing Allison Crowther, Wells Crowther's mother, at halftime. And she talks about the investment into the Red Bandana Fund. They try to do things to help charitable programs, service-oriented charitable programs, with the money that is raised. But she said the investment, not just by the football team, not just by the athletic department, but the investment on the campus. And that game Friday night showed you that investment, right? I mean, the student body is active into the game. They embrace the red bandana. Then BC gets their quarterback. Friday afternoon, at about an hour before kickoff, it leaks out that Phil Jurkovec's going to play. They kind of rode some of that momentum early in the game. That dude is tough. I mean, would you have guessed that the first touchdown he'd score on a run?
No.
Right, and took a big shot doing it, too. But, I mean, I'm telling you, he looked pretty good for a guy who'd been on the sides for, what, 9 weeks?
This is another team that's going to look back at the end of this season, regardless of how it ends, and go, woulda, coulda, shoulda. What happens to BC if Phil Jurkovec plays all year
long? Look at that ball. Great catch by Flowers, by the way. I agree with that. If he plays all year long, is BC in the, are we having the discussion with BC that we're having with Wake Forest?
They're not 5-4.
I totally agree with that.
That's the point.
Right.
I mean, they were perfect in September, winless in October. They're perfect so far in November. There's no way they're 5-4 with Jurkovec as their starting quarterback. You talked about the emotion for BC, crowd, red bandana, and the news of Jurkovec.
Yeah.
The flip side was, how lifeless was Virginia Tech? And I'm being kind, because I watched that thing Friday night, yeah, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
73 yards passing, 3 points, and above all that, I know it was cold. I get it. But there just wasn't any enthusiasm. It just looked like it was like, can we go home? It just felt like, could we just get home?
Well, and Braxton Burmeister gets banged out early, so Knox Kadem comes in. And the Hokies only throw for 73 yards. First time in better than 5 years they've been held under 100 yards passing in a game. Malachi Thomas, okay. I mean, but they played uphill all night long, Pack. In games like that, you've got to have a want to, don't you?
They look lifeless to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's been a tough run, but I just thought, call me crazy, I just thought Virginia Tech going on the road away from Lane Stadium where they lost 3 in a row. They beat Georgia Tech, right? You beat Georgia Tech, and I'm thinking, all right, maybe with this crowd, they will take that momentum up north to a BC team that was kind of, you know, they're struggling,
right,
trying to figure it out. Hey, we haven't won the game in a month.
Right.
And I just didn't get that. I didn't get that from Virginia Tech at all. Yeah. And, you know, when that game was winding down the last 5 or 6 minutes, it just looked like, can we just go home? Like I said, can we just go home now?
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah.
And, you know, you put up 3 points. You can't throw the forward pass. Offense has been an issue. Defense was hanging around doing a good job for the most part. Kept that thing somewhat in the neighborhood. But Virginia Tech is like, where are they going?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, where are they going? I mean, they get Duke this week. Just talked about the Blue Devils. Might be the perfect remedy for Virginia Tech to close out their home slate with a W.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think Hokie Nation, for the most part, looks back at this season and says, man, after week one, we upset North Carolina. Crowds going nuts like the old days. What could have been for this team? And now you look at them here in the first week, 2 weeks in November, and they're, I just don't know if there's an answer.
Right, and missed chances.
Golly, a bunch of them.
Yeah.
I almost go back to the Notre Dame game.
Oh, duh. See,
I'm going to because we're talking about the big picture here.
I know.
But when Virginia Tech's got the lead with 3-4 minutes to go, you got Notre Dame. You're going to finally get that breakthrough W, right? Mm-hmm. And it was the start of 3 consecutive home games where you knew you had to have a run.
Yeah.
It was there. You got the lead. You got the crowd. Notre Dame can't move the ball. You're doing the great job. And they just let that thing slip away.
Yeah.
And they have not been the same since.
Right.
They were flat against Pitt, got smoked. Syracuse ripped their heart out. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Friday night against BC, that was just a lifeless nothing. I mean, yeah. 3 points and good night. See you later.
Jeff Hafley, after the ball game, about the return of Phil Jurkovec to the lineup.
Let me say about Phil that this wasn't something that we were hiding or planned. He got cleared Friday and hadn't really practiced. And, you know, just being honest with you, called him in, and I would have said at best 50-50 chance with the amount of reps he was going to be able to take, he'd really be able to play. And I didn't want to do anything to jeopardize or get him hurt. So we wanted to really guide him but let him make the decision. And he walked into Coach Signetti and I and said, I'm playing. And it was, I'm playing. It was like that. And when Phil looks in the eye and says that, you listen to him.
And if you take the Mark Packer coaching engine, you don't tell anybody anything anymore. So, Coach, you don't have to apologize. You don't have to walk us through that. You just say, hey, listen, you want to know who my quarterback is? You'll find out in the first snap on Friday night or Saturday. That's what I've been saying since the middle of the summer. If I was a coach, I wouldn't tell the media a thing. Hey, you guys want to know who my quarterback is? I'll tell you who it's going to be. What time's our game Saturday? Oh, 3:30? Cool. At 3:33, when we get the ball first, you'll find out. So I know Hafley's just being kind, kind of giving you a backstory there, but you don't have to tell anybody anything. He's your quarterback, man. It's your team. You think Virginia Tech would like to have known he was starting?
Yes.
Of course they would have.
Yeah.
So you tell them nothing.
Right. There you go.
Simple. Somebody.
Yeah.
Tell them nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
Great win for BC.
Oh,
And they're another team that's going to have a chance to stick their nose in somebody's business down the stretch.
That's right.
To become bowl eligible.
Correct.
Just keep an eye on BC moving forward.
Yeah.
Now that Jurkovec's back.
All right. We go to the 8 o'clock hour on this Monday presented by Subway.
You know I'm right.
What about not telling anybody?
Yes.
I know you're right. The funny thing is that you lay it out there and all these coaches come on and they go, hey, you're right.
Yeah.
And then when they don't do it, you lose it.
I'm like, what
are you
thinking?
Which is even better.
What are you thinking? Don't tell anything to anybody.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick's the greatest in the history of football at a press conference saying, hey, I'm going to get through this press conference and use 11 words. I'm telling you nothing. My goal is to make sure you get nothing out of this. Kind of like our 3 hours on the air.
There we go.
Very similar.
We get nothing out of it.
Nothing.
Yeah. When we come back, the best and worst of the weekend kicks off the 8 o'clock hour ahead of Dino Babers visiting with us at 8:45. Best, Phil Jurkovec, you're there. Look at that goal. Serious? Come on. We got a long list. Unfortunately, both ways. Best up next on Packer and Durham. presented Mondays by Subway on ACC.
Packer and Durham.